films are fine, just the way they are. Other films sometimes take it way too far. But really, how bad could it get? Let's go beyond the box set.
Welcome back, everybody, to Beyond the Box Set, where today we are reviewing Eternals.
The Eternals, the long-awaited Eternals.
Yeah.
Is it Eternals or The Eternals?
Marvel's Eternals.
Marvel's Eternals.
Maybe.
Okay, sure.
I'm not too sure.
So possessive.
Yeah. Finally, I'm back up to date with Marvel.
You are back up to date with Marvel. I mean, you think this has been bad. Wait till you've got a baby. Then see how well you do.
It's all right. This baby could still stay in just a few more days, and then I'll get to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, and then when's the next one after Spider-Man?
I think it might be Doctor Strange.
When's that set for?
March.
You might be able to get back out for a night in March.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. So Eternals then.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought this film was boring. And it got better at the end.
Yeah.
But the first hour was boring.
It's long.
It was just an endless series of introductions.
It's got too many characters.
Way too many characters. And I guess that's the point. It's like an ensemble film. But it just spent...
Well, it didn't need to just be a single film. A single person film. A solo movie.
Yeah.
It just needed to have, like, instead of having about 9 main characters, just have like 4 or 5.
It just...
And a few of them could definitely have been merged. Because the biggest problem with this film is it gives everybody something to do, mm-hmm. and it gives them backstory, yeah. and it makes them all reasonably well-written characters.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
It's a very good
thing. On paper, yeah.
But there's too many characters, and so to do all those things, it means that the film really slows down and is quite lengthy.
It's so much backflashes and exposition.
Flashbacks.
It's so many flashbacks and exposition.
The backflash is when you're wearing a trench coat backwards. Mm. And you start flashing people, and you're just showing your bum. Otherwise known as mooning.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant a flashback and an exposition.
Yeah.
Every character gets a multiple flashbacks and exposition. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind a big ensemble film. I feel like it's better if the characters are strong enough, like the X-Men for something.
Well, I think the characters in this are strong enough, but just none of them have enough screen time to sort of take the lead of the team. If that makes sense.
I feel like Gemma Chan's the lead.
Yes, yeah. I'm not getting across what I'm trying to say here, but like Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. they give everyone about an equal amount of screen time.
Yes.
And it's not a short film either. It's over two hours.
But
like, because there's less of them, they all get more screen time. In this, everyone, you know, some ever so slightly more than others, but everybody gets about the same amount of screen time. And so,
but also,
no one gets enough.
I've not watched Guardians of the Galaxy in a long time, but as I recall, you don't get everyone's backstory, right? It's just like, these are fun characters, just enjoy them.
You get more sort of hints at everyone's backstory.
And Star-Lord, I know, gets a bit, but like,
you don't
get like a deep backstory on Groot, do you?
No.
Or the raccoon guy.
The raccoon guy, how dare you?
I'm sorry.
You just, in the last episode we recorded, you just remembered Themyscira out of the middle of nowhere. The raccoon guy.
I genuinely can't remember, I'm sorry. Rocket?
Rocket raccoon.
Yeah, okay, I did have it somewhere, yeah.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Rocket. You don't get deep backstory on those characters, right?
No, you get like hints.
Mm. Yeah, you can
do hints.
And
not enough hints to know that like Rocket's got like, he's got a lot of metal in his back. He is literally a raccoon, but he's talking for some reason. There's a bit of mystery there. And I mean, there's a tragic backstory. That's kind of it.
Yeah. Like literally 45 minutes of, I think, and I'm being like generous there, I think 45 minutes of this movie is different characters learning that, spoiler alert, Salma Hayek is dead.
Mm.
It's just so many of the same conversation happening the same time with pretty much the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's, what was she called? Like,
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I don't know anybody's name. No, please, let's not try and look at my character name.
But yeah, there's so many scenes that were just like,
you know what? I've listened to multiple podcasts on reviews of this because, you know, I'm a big nerd.
Yeah.
And everyone's referring to people by character names. And I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about. Because also, like, you're talking about the things that they did. And like, a lot of them, it's quite generic. You could be talking about multiple people here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who you're talking about. Unless you mentioned, like, they're a Bollywood star.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that. Yeah, but so many times, it's the same scene over and over again. It's like, oh, we welcome back this character into our group. We have a hug. We reminisce. Oh, by the way, Salma Hayek's dead. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then that scene plays out, like, 5 or 6 times, and it's so boring.
Mm.
Yeah. they really could have. I wish they just like trusted the audience to like infer that and just like drop us in the middle of it and just let us enjoy a bit of crazy time with all these, you know, quite interestingly powered different villains and heroes.
Yeah.
But instead, it drags and drags and drags. Yeah. It got better, but the first hour and a half, I was literally struggling to keep my eyes open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It definitely did. It got better, and I want to see more of these characters.
Sure.
But like, it's easy for me to say that now because we've got the backstory on them. So now when we next see these characters,
we
can just get into it. Because that's how the Avengers films work so well, is they don't need to do any of this backstory stuff at all. Like
Because they're more famous like comic book characters.
Well, no, because they've already been in other films.
Oh, they've all had their origin stories. So like in Infinity
War, it's got like what? Like, so this has got 9 main characters. Infinity War's got about 30.
Yeah,
we don't need backstories on them.
Yeah, they've all had their own films.
Yeah, so they just concentrate on one, which is Thanos, the villain.
Also, I do wish I know in the post-credit, they really like, I guess whatever the next one, if it does happen, is going to be much more tied into the MCU because obviously they introduce Thanos' brother. Mm-hmm. But I wish these films just existed in a parallel universe to the MCU that we know because it felt like there was a lot of stretching to kind of like, but why weren't they there when Thanos did his thing? Why wouldn't they help?
Like, I was afraid of this after Endgame, but it's annoyingly literally every Marvel film. Like just from now on, it's almost
everything's just
so
like,
so what were you doing during that?
During the snap.
To be fair, Black Widow didn't really come up so much because it was
mostly a prequel.
Which had its own problems.
Yeah.
And then Shang-Chi was kind of like that as well.
Yeah. I feel like as good as Endgame was, it's kind of cast this shadow now over everything that comes after it. Everything's going to have to be about the snap.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't need to know what you're doing.
Well, Marvel's kind of done that pretty well in the past because like after the first Avengers film, a few of the films were like, so, God, we're really recovering from that battle in New York.
Mm.
And then, you know,
I think
it all kind of led one into the next. Like, the Avengers film led into Iron Man 3 and Captain America, which led into the next Avengers film, which led into the next Captain America, which led into the next Avengers film. And they did it well. And, you know,
I'm sure they'll stop. I'm sure they'll, like, phase out mentioning it.
But they need to do something with it and move on. And I think that they're about to with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Oh, the multiverse thing, sure.
Yeah, I think they're all about to get into a whole nother thing.
Okay, but the thing is that...
And there's not many more films that are coming up with new characters in.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. It's because these characters are literally gods.
Yeah.
And like, it had to like really pull itself in all directions to just be like, well, why wouldn't these gods have helped out at humanity's moments of crisis? And the answer they give is, no, they didn't want to. They really like wave it away. It's just that's not really our thing.
They give the answer and they put it in the trailers as well. And it's like, oh, we were instructed to only intervene if deviants were involved.
Yeah, which feels like it's going to limit their future filmmaking potential.
Yeah, definitely. because now that the characters themselves...
I guess they've gone independent.
Sort of broken free. But the reason they're given the film, it's like, no, we're only supposed to, stop the deviants because the deviants are wiping out the human population. We need the planet to be really populated so it does the thing or whatever. I don't know.
But isn't Thanos exactly like limiting the population?
Yeah.
Like that's his literal plan is to halve the population.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big fly in their ointment. Yeah.
Yeah, like they could have just said that, like, oh, we were mostly all snapped away.
Yeah,
that was it. Like that.
We weren't there.
We'd be fine.
Yeah, that's we were fine. Asleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. So it's silly.
Yeah. It is silly. are there really 9 of them?
Oh, I don't remember. Let me just have a look, see what we...
That sounds about right for the amount of backstory we had to wade through, but...
It is loads. Let's see. So on the poster, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10? Oh my God, worse than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So we've got the speedy deaf one.
Yes.
We've got, what's his face, the Indian guy? I've forgotten his name.
Oh, Kumail Nanjiani, yeah.
Yeah.
He was fun. He was maybe my favourite.
Well, yeah, he was the comedy.
He was the comic relief. Yeah,
him to be the comedy, but he was fantastic.
I mean, he's a comedian. Of course he's the comedy.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't expect... Yeah. I really liked how... So in this film, there's a whole conversation about whether they should or shouldn't do the thing at the end where they try and stop... a big celestial alien like bursting out of the earth like an egg. Mm. So like, well, if, you know, the celestials are good because they make more planets and more civilizations arise so they can do this thing. And it's like, okay, well, if we do this, we stop other worlds from being created. Mm-hmm. Is that bad? We're stopping billions of lives from being created.
Yeah, they have kind of a moral debate about the whole thing. Yeah.
And I like that at the end, for the final climax, he's just like, nah, I'm not having a part of this. I'm off. And he's not in the end.
And it's a weird choice.
It's very strange.
He just like leaves the narrative for the climax of the movie. Yeah.
But also, I'm kind of glad they did that so that everybody that's in the final battle had something to do. I guess they kind of thought like, you know what? We don't have anything for this guy to do in a final battle.
Yeah.
You know what?
Let's just make him a conscientious objector. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But if you've got a way to cut out a character, great. Mm-hmm. From this, so we've also got I don't know the actor's name. Remember the character's name was Druig. I think he can make people do whatever.
Oh, he was my least favorite.
Big time. Yeah.
He was just a bit of a drag, and also I felt like the actor's accent was wandering quite significantly.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And also, I just couldn't get on board the fact that he's basically a cult leader.
Yeah, pretty much.
And nobody seemed to address that.
He's just in a bad mood for the whole movie, and I just wasn't here for it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the people that are his subjects?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. He's fully enslaved them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, how much of their decision is going into this at all?
Yeah.
It's weird, and it's never talked about.
Yeah, I feel like that's the conversation.
He's still pitched as a good guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, there's that. There's Sprite. That's the young one.
Oh, I also dislike Sprite.
Really?
I thought Sprite was irritating. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was alright with her.
Fucking grow up, Sprite. Get a grip. Get a haircut. Get a grip.
She wants to. That's the thing. Then there is I don't know what his name is, but the guy looking after Angelina Jolie.
He was pretty fun. I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just cooked and ate lots of things.
Yeah.
And what was his thing?
He was just super strong, was he? I think he was just super strong.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. And then there's Angelina Jolie, who has a remarkably small amount to do in this film.
Yeah.
That's not a complaint, because, you know, then it just gave space for like Gemma Chan and Richard Madden to have plenty to do.
I really thought they were going to kill off Angelina Jolie, but they kept her around, yeah.
I think, I've heard this from the Weekly Planet, but I think that Angelina Jolie and Selma Hayek should have just been merged.
Yeah, it's a single character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have made more sense, definitely. Because she did feel like a bit of a spare part.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Then there is the inventor guy.
Uh-huh.
The gay guy.
Yeah, oh, of course. Sing Hallelujah, they included a homosexual lead character. And he had a really incredibly awkward kiss that was in no way crowbarred in and as quick as it could possibly be. Thank you, Marvel.
Well, it's small
God,
stuff.
It was annoying, though.
Yeah.
I'd rather have nothing than that kind of like crowbarred in representation.
Okay.
But I like the character. I thought he was a good actor. Mm. I like him. I thought the character was okay. But yeah, the kiss was really annoying because it was really out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we've got Selma Hayek, who in this poster I'm looking at seems to be like blinking.
Okay. Yeah, she's like the moral center of the group, isn't she? She gets murdered early on, but she's in a lot of flashbacks. So,
I was a bit concerned when she was murdered, like, oh, is that it for Selma Hayek? That is shit.
Yeah,
But then there's so many flashbacks. She's basically in all of still them, in
it.
So.
She's basically, yeah, I mean, I don't know if she'll be in the sequels much, but they...
I assume not.
They got their money's worth out of her, yeah.
And then there's Richard Madden.
Yeah, he was good.
I actually really enjoyed him.
Mm-hmm.
He was fun. Didn't like at the end where Icarus flew into the sun.
Yeah, is he dead now? Or are they going
to
bring him...
I'm going to assume so.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of a stretch to bring him back, and they've got enough characters.
True, yeah. I mean, if this film is going to trim it down to like five Avengers, Eternals for the next film, I can live with that.
Well, I don't think there will be another Eternals film.
Because this one didn't do very well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that just we'll see these characters.
They'll fold into the MCU as supporting characters. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, they did kind of give it a bit of a cliffhanger, but I guess they assumed there'd be more.
Well, I think they've left a cliffhanger, but it's not necessarily going to be completed in Eternals.
True, it could be somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, it might be a Doctor Strange thing or something.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Could be, or a Guardians of the Galaxy thing. Mm-hmm. And then Gemma Chan as well.
Yeah, she was very good. I mean, she was definitely the lead.
Yes.
She was the main one. And she carried it very well.
Yeah.
I did get... Was she Cersei? Who was Cersei?
Yes. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, it was unfortunate to have two Game of Thrones actors who were fighting over a character called Cersei.
Really was.
You'd think... And I know it's based on a comic book and it's spelled differently, but like... Just change the name, change the pronunciation, do something.
Mm.
Or don't cast those two Game of Thrones guys, because it's ever so distracting.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept wanting to like drink wine and blow up the sept. It was just like, you know.
Yeah, that would have been good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think of Kit Harington?
Well, he wasn't in it much.
I was expecting way more of him.
Yeah.
But to be honest, when I learned that he was in it, I was kind of like, I don't want to know if he's one of the Eternals or just something else, or because he could quite easily be the villain, and I don't want to build that theory up in my head, because then I'll just confirm it and I'll get it right.
So what is he supposed to be in his own spin-off thing? Because there's a post-credit where he grabs a mysterious sword and he hears a voice that it turns out to be Blade, right? Who is he? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Well.
The Black Knight, maybe, but I might be making that up, and I also have no more information than that.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess if they decide to expand on this.
I think they will. Like, they're definitely doing a Blade film.
Yes, they are doing a Blade film.
And maybe they'll put Kit Harington
maybe
in
he's in that.
Because I think that a Blade film will need more than just Mahershala Ali to sell it.
They'll need a white guy, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more meant that it'll need more famous people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Than just Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's one. He's no one's going to see the new Mahershala Ali film.
I mean, they kind of sell themselves, these Marvel films. It's not really about the actors, is it, that much? It's the characters. People. I think Blade as a character isn't interesting enough that they could put...
True.
Yeah.
True, actually.
But I'll take your point.
If you look at Shang-Chi, they really sold that to a Western audience, and it had
maybe
two people that I knew beforehand.
Yeah, and I don't think Awkwafina, as great as she is necessarily going to bring in millions and millions of pounds.
No,
I think it's the characters.
Yeah.
That's
probably why this film made any money at all, is because it's a Marvel film.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah, God, this film would have made no money. It was like an independent thing.
Yeah.
So directed famously by Chloe Zhao, mm-hmm. who is not someone you would necessarily associate with the MCU. She mm-hmm. won the Oscar last year for Nomadland.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of her as a director in terms of the way the film looked and felt? And
looked fantastic.
I thought... You could really tell it was her in the fact that, like, she really created like the landscapes, and that was the strongest part of the
compared
film.
Compared to Shang-Chi, this one looked fantastic. Because whenever Shang-Chi showed a landscape, and bless them, they tried.
It looked very CGI.
Looked very CGI.
Yeah, I agree. This one really felt like it had a sense of place at all.
Shang-Chi
times.
Looked like a video game.
Yeah.
They're like a really good video game, but it was still a video game. This looked like an Oscar-winning movie.
I agree. Yeah.
Because it's basically made by an Oscar-winning cinematographer.
I'll be interested to see if it gets any Oscar nominations. Pure, it's not going to get any acting, obviously, or best picture, but for any of the visual effects and set design stuff, I would like to see it get a little bit.
I wonder,
because it was a very visually attractive film.
It's one of those ones where it just depends what the competition is going to be. This isn't a surefire. This is going to get nominated.
No, I think this film could win. Dune will probably win. So
yeah, probably. I was going to say, like, this will only get nominated in the technicals if it's a weak year for technicals.
Yeah, that's true. But I do think genuinely it looks great.
Yeah.
That was something I was very,
it does, because it is something that it's a little rare to get in a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Is when it visually just doesn't look super animated.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they do a really good job of that, but you can still always tell.
Yeah, no, I thought this one did a very good job of like not looking like a generic MCU film. I think that's probably the best thing that she brought to the table.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pacing,
not so much.
She definitely has that style though. That's...
Yeah, I mean, Nomadland was not exactly a thrill a minute, but
No. So what do you think of the actual plot of what was going on then? So there's celestials and
it was very convoluted, and I'll be honest, I switched off a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't understand why, from a design perspective, the like giant god that they keep talking to just looked like Iron Man, like a giant Lego Iron Man or like a Transformer. It was a very strange design.
Okay, it's comic accurate.
Yeah, maybe, I guess that's it. Maybe
so it wasn't on Chloe Zhao.
Okay, no, yeah, fair enough, fine, yeah. No, I mean, it did look really good, but the plot didn't. The plot for me was very secondary. I didn't care.
Yeah,
it was way too convoluted. It was just like, oh, and
I think they just made it way too complicated. Mm-hmm. So there's these big celestial beings that are like the size
buried
of a planet
inside the core of a planet.
And so yeah, the way that they reproduce is they just like. They put something in a planet, just like a sperm in an egg.
Yeah, it's like every planet is like a tadpole waiting to happen.
Yeah, basically. So our planet has been fertilized.
Yeah.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, very much how it is.
What it is, yeah.
And there is a big old celestial growing inside of it, and it just needs a certain amount of population or energy or something on the surface for it to hatch,
mm-hmm.
basically. Doesn't really make much sense, but just go with it on that.
Yeah.
And so the Celestials made the Eternals, which are our main characters, who are essentially robots.
Yeah, that's the reveal we get, is that they think they're gods, but actually they're just like android kind of things.
Basically,
right?
Yeah.
Which I guess they'll grapple with more if there is a sequel.
Yeah. So they're basically robots who don't age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said Eternals, but like they're not immortal. Clearly they can be killed, but just they don't age and they don't get old.
I think they only die sick. If they're like beheaded. It's kind of like Highlander.
Yeah.
They can't die of old age, but they can die if they're murdered by somebody.
So, yeah.
Yeah. If they fail to recuperate.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, because Selma Hayek's power was that she can heal people, including the other Eternals.
Yes, but if she's overpowered by wolves as she's in this film, then she can't do it.
Yeah.
And then Angelina Jolie also has a whole plot line where she is malfunctioning, where she remembers...
She has too many memories.
She has too many memories and it's causing her to have like breakdowns.
And she's essentially remembering like past worlds that she's been on. So they go to worlds to like give them new technology and stuff to just sort of better the races that are on there.
Yeah.
Just so they, you know, overpopulate essentially with loads of technology and stuff. And I think that it was getting too... Oh, no. That was it. The first type of Eternals... They started evolving themselves, and that's where the deviants came from. And then the deviants were.
Oh god, why is Marvel so obsessed with the phrase apex predator? I'd never heard this term before, and now it's in fucking everything.
Is it?
Yeah.
What else is it?
Oh, actually, maybe it's not. To be fair, it's not MCU. Wonder Woman 2 is all about apex predators as well. I'm like, I'd never heard this term until recently, and now everyone's wanging about apex predators.
Sorry.
Okay. No. Carry on.
Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, the deviants were put down on planets to take away the predators from the races, you know, like the predators of humans, for example.
Yeah.
But then the deviants started killing humans, so that's why the Eternals were created, to go and stop the deviants and also make the humans and other people overpopulate.
Yeah.
So that then these Celestials could hatch out of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plot.
Yeah.
And the Eternals have been on Earth for ages and they have basically fallen in love with it and they don't want it to be destroyed like an eggshell.
But there's a divide in the group. So Gemma Chan really wants to save humanity. Her boyfriend is human, obviously, or is he? We'll find out. But she wants humanity to be saved, whereas Richard Madden very much wants to follow orders and destroy humanity. And and so the Eternals end up splitting and it's a whole thing.
So they have the whole fight. Eventually, at the very end, Gemma Chan believes in herself and her power becomes strong enough.
It was very Captain Planet in that way. Her power is self-belief, yeah.
That just at the very last minute, as the Celestial is literally hatching out of the surface of the planet, she turns the entire thing to marble. It's very cinematic.
Yeah, no, it looked good. It definitely looked good.
Mm. And saves the day, basically. By killing a baby Eternal.
By making it dormant again. Like, delaying it being born. I don't think she kills it.
Was it delaying?
I think she convinces it to go back into the ground and maybe get born in another 10,000 years.
Well, it's still sticking out.
I'm pretty sure she just freezes it. I don't think she's supposed to be killing it. Okay. I think the idea is just to convince it, like, to stop it from being ready yet.
Right, okay.
That was my understanding of it.
Okay.
I mean, I was kind of switched off, but that's what I took, yeah.
It's not super important.
No. I did read...
And then at the end... The big old Celestial, who does actually have a name, but I don't know, who put all these plans into motion, gets a bit angry, comes back, like, towering over London and the whole planet.
Yeah, kidnaps Gemma Chan. Yeah.
Kidnaps Gemma Chan and others?
Possibly the others. Not all of them, though, because Angelina Jolie and the deaf girl and the Irish guy and the inventor guy, I think they're, like, still in they're in the credits with Harry Styles at the end.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just her and... Maybe just her? I don't know.
Kamal still alive? Nanjiani?
And maybe Kamal Nanjiani, possibly. Yeah,
I think he was saying... Weird, because like he was the one who was like, I don't really want a part of either.
Yeah,
either
he should be...
I don't want to make a decision.
He should be fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll learn again if they ever pick this up again.
Yeah. They definitely will in some form. Like, I could definitely see Harry Styles just popping up in something.
Yeah, they don't introduce Harry Styles to not... They've already announced the Star Fox movie's happening, so...
Right, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Did you also know, before we wrap up, I was reading reviews after I got out of this film, and it was like, first ever MCU film with a sex scene. I was like, and I was literally reading this review on the way home. I just like Googled like reviews from places I like just to see how they reacted to it. And they were like, oh my God, it's the first MCU scene film with a sex scene. I was like, I've literally just watched this. I have no memory of a sex scene whatsoever.
Yeah, so there was Gemma Chan and
Richard Madden. Did they have a sex scene?
Yeah, they had a brief bit of sex where they're both naked, they're both in bed, and there's very little movement.
Okay.
And the camera very quickly pans up. So that is... I mean, this is the first I've heard of it as well, of people writing articles like that. But, I mean, we get just as much sex in the first Iron Man film.
Oh, really?
Like, we literally... Well, yeah, I'm not sure if they're naked, but they're definitely, like, rolling around on bed and snogging in a very sort of 2008 Playboy
way. It was a whole thing, and I was just like, wow, this film, like, the first one to have a sex scene and the first film to have, like, a gay relationship, and well, apart from that stupid Avengers, like...
That was more of it was like a character.
Gay reference. But it was just like, wow, that slim pickings, guys. Very slim pickings.
Mm. God, they really missed such a great shout with... They could have made Loki gay.
They could have made so many characters gay.
Well, like, no, it's... We both know it's a difficult sell in Hollywood to introduce a gay character. Yeah, well,
it's for China, isn't it? They can't sell it in China.
Yeah. But to introduce to a well-loved fan favorite character that, oh, they were gay all along and you just didn't, we just didn't put it in before now. Then it's like, oh, my favorite character's gay. I don't know how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's you've got to trick the straight people into liking gays.
I see. That's the secret. That's
what I'm saying here.
Yeah, well, that's how I've always operated, yeah.
Okay, so out of 10, Eternals.
7, I guess. It's an unenthusiastic 7.
7, okay. That's higher than I thought you were going to give.
No, it was decent. It looked good and the ending was decent, but it was just... No, more like 6.5, maybe. It was just very boring in the first half, but it did redeem itself a bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was just quite boring.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 6 as well.
Oh, wow, okay.
There's a fair few bits that I enjoyed, but like it's a long film and it is slow.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And like, there's no... If somebody asked me what was my favourite bit of the film, I absolutely couldn't tell you.
Yeah, there wasn't...
Like, what is the memorable scene?
The end, well, maybe, yeah.
There isn't,
Harry Styles.
Make that post-credit scene, that might be it.
Pretty much.
That might be the most memorable
scene. And
that
scene wasn't good, it was just like, oh, here's Harry Styles.
Whereas, like, say, in Shang-Chi, the most memorable scene is the bus fight.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Shang-Chi felt more iconic.
The bus fight is it. That's, yeah. And, like...
I definitely like Shang-Chi more than this.
Black Widow, Prison Escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't decide.
Black Widow less so.
Yeah, but Shang-Chi was definitely the best one this year. But yeah, sure.
Yeah, but hey, we've got Spider-Man coming up and that's...
We do, yeah.
Set to be really good. So yeah, looking forward to that.
We'll see how we feel about that one. Cool. In a couple weeks' time.
6 from me and a 6 from you.
Yeah.
That's it. So thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for subscribing.
And yeah, see you next week for something else.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Depends when this baby's born.
Yeah.
Fine, we'll sort it out.
All right. Bye.
See you later. Bye. Beyond the box set.